Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we are talking about Florida finally getting, I guess, the monkey off our back. It was a convincing Missouri victory over Missouri. We can talk about it in a bit.
The Northern Tiger from the Big 12.
Yes, the
off our back.
The inferior.
The out-of-conference.
The out-of-conference conference game. Our out-of-conference conference game that we have every year. We'll be talking about that game. We will also be going through our rapid reactions from the week. We will then be going into a wild five wide and 2-point conversion that we had this week. And we will then be finishing with a flagship segment, Moment of the Week. But first, Tyler, let's go into quick hits. And we start with some sad news coming out of Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, actually. Tua Tagovailoa ended up injuring his hip. He dislocated his hip and he fractured his, what was it? It was his...
I don't know the exact name for the bone.
I don't even know what it was. Like, if you tell me. Anyway, he hurts his hip, and he is out
He dislocated his hip, basically.
We know that, yeah. He's out for the season. There was a tweet out there, and I'm sorry that I don't have the tweet by hand, and I can't credit the author of the tweet, saying that it was similar to Bo Jackson's career-ending injury. I don't know how inflated that really
so,
is.
So I've looked into this a little bit. It is the same, technically, type of injury, but... That gets thrown out a lot, but like the problem that Bo Jackson had is that he had necrosis, basically. Like, he had like loss of cells, like basically he had to get an entirely new hip because the hip basically died.
Got it.
That is, we don't know anything, so we don't know if that's the case. But also, it's been about 28 years since that happened. So I would imagine that medicine has advanced a little bit.
Yeah,
there are examples of people have been throwing out the Bo Jackson thing as like it's means Tua might never play football again, which of course is certainly true with any injury. But there are cases of this exact injury and people still playing afterwards. CJ Mosley and Dennis Pitta have both had this injury and both still play in the NFL.
Right. I think technology's advanced far enough. Like, we have people tearing their ACLs back in 9 months. Like, that's something that's been unheard of in the past. So I'm not worried about that. But what I am concerned about is just Tua as a person in general. Like, this is very sad. We've had a guy, this is a guy that has had surgeries on both of his ankles, has battled the stigma of being injury prone for the past year and a half, 2 years, and in our eyes is the unequivocal QB1 in this upcoming draft. We don't really want to speculate too much as much for the in terms of the draft, but we kind of have to talk a little bit about it. Let's just throw this out there real quick, Tyler. I know you and I are both in agreements. We've talked about this. We've texted about this over the course of the past day. Our primary concern is that Tua gets healthy. Not for football reasons, but just for his life reason. This guy's gone through a lot. We want to make sure that he's healthy, both physically and mentally, because it's difficult to come back from these kind of things. He keeps getting injured. That is first and foremost. With that being said, Tyler, how does this affect Tua's, I guess, potential career? And how does this affect the top four or five teams in the NFL, my Dolphins included? I don't want to talk about it from a Dolphins perspective, just in general. My Dolphins included, how does this affect their approach? How should this affect their approach to draft, to the draft coming up in April?
Well, the unfortunate reality of this is that Tua now has officially the injury prone label.
Yeah.
Like, for a while it was like, yeah, he's had a bad ankle and you can kind of give him that and this and that. And you're not really sure if it's just something that he played through this one time and then he injured his other ankle, so he played through it for the LSU game. But you officially have to give him the injury-prone label now. Even if you don't want to, you have to. So this will that alone affects his draft stock. And on top of this, like, if he declares for the draft, like, we think that he should, just because...
You can't pass up the money.
I don't think you can pass up the money. It's one of those things that he might not go top four. I still think he's a first-round player. Unless the news that comes out of that injury is that it's possibly career-ending, it might be like a Miles Jack, Jalen Smith situation where, like, what is considered a consensus first-round player drops a couple rounds. I don't – because he's a quarterback, I don't think that that's going to happen with him.
I
don't really see a way that – unless it's really, really that bad that he falls out of the first round.
Even though that this draft class and next year's draft class is considered to be both relatively deep? Are considered to be relatively deep?
I mean, it is. Both of these classes are considered to be relatively deep with quarterbacks, but part of that is that I just think that Like, he is so consensus, if not one, then two. And we've had, there's been this whole craze about tank for Tua, like tank for this. And like, but like, that's a, it's been a widespread thing that, I mean, fans say a lot, like, tank for this, tank for that. But very few players do fans like consensus be like, all right, everybody,
this
there's
is,
like a movement.
This is the last like consensus number one player where people are like, we should, like the Dolphins are, throw away our entire organization for a season in order to assure 20 years longevity at this position. This is the last time it happened since Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, right?
Realistically, that was the last can't miss prospect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We might have another one next year with Trevor Lawrence. We don't know.
Right.
But right now, he was in that status, and he's not really in that status anymore because you can't be the can't miss prospect and have all these injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. I think he'll be able to overcome this. I actually think that in a way, I mean, if he declares the draft, he's going to be able to sign with an agent, get medical help and medical and professional training. Not that like the PT training at Alabama is bad.
Right, yeah. Not that they have a bad staff.
Notch. Probably top notch.
Yeah.
But he's going to, if an NFL team drafts him, he'll be able to get in an NFL doctor's office. He'll be able to work through it. He'll be able to just have practice. I think that he can still overcome this. I think you, as a team, if you're one of the two or three teams that know that you need a quarterback, you still have to consider him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a team that was like, maybe I'll draft a quarterback, maybe I won't.
So, you know, well, okay, so then let's.
And now I think you have to either, you have to wait and see like what happens, but you'd be moving Tua down your board.
So do this, and I'm going to just put the ball in your court. If you're the Dolphins and you end up, let's say we end up with the third pick, right? The way that Brian Flores is coaching his tail off, let's say we end up with the third pick, right? And the Bengals say, you know what? Forget it. We don't want to take that injury risk. We're going to take Burrow one overall, which, understand, fine. And then sitting at two is Washington, and Washington says, we're going to go with Dwayne Haskins, give us Chase Young, which is a can't-miss defensive prospect. Smart pick. Great. The Dolphins sitting at three. Do you take Tua at three? If you're in my situation, if you're in the Dolphins situation, forget it. This is my situation. If you're in my situation.
Yeah, don't lie. You have a Dolphins hat on right now.
Yeah, I do. I wear it every Sunday. But like, I'm just trying to, you know, be a little.
No, I mean, I would say that you do. You do have to. I mean, again, that's in April. So much is going to come out before then.
Yeah.
If he even declares he's going to have a hole, he's going to go to the combine, he's going to get tested, he's going to have interviews, we're going to see. Because he's at Alabama right now, where we don't even know what his personality's like. I mean, we do, but you know what I mean.
No, listen, man. We thought we were going to see Jalen Hurts' personality, and it looks like he's just a carbon. He is Darth Vader to Saban's Darth Sidious.
I'm very proud of you for that reference.
You're welcome.
Right there.
I got you. Disney Plus, baby. Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Disney Plus, drop a bag.
Drop a bag.
Or
just drop a login. We'll take that.
Speak for yourself. I have a login. but no, I think that I would take that chance because I think that he is very clearly better than most of the quarterbacks that are coming behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as long as this isn't like one of those career in doubt things, I think you still have to take a chance on him.
Okay.
I think that the Dolphins probably with three first round picks would probably be like, depending on what it is, they might think they'll be able to get him with their second one.
And that's my concern because right now the best shot that we have is the Steelers. So depending on where, if the Steelers is a top 10 pick and you look at the teams behind you and you think those guys aren't going to take a quarterback, then maybe we can wait and try to get like maybe an offensive lineman or another a good safety or something like that. But all right. The last thing I want to talk about with Tua real quick is we're going to hear it over the next few days. We already had Feinbaum say it today. On SportsCenter, people were saying that Tua cost himself all this money by playing this and that, whatever. Tua's a competitor. We are on the same page here. Tua's a competitor. Tua wanted to play the game. Saban said that he had him in there because they were getting two-minute drill reps because he knows that nothing, while yes, you can do them in practice, and yes, we're talking about the player that came in at halftime
it's
of a national
reps,
championship
though.
Game. Right. We're talking about the player that came in at halftime of the national championship game and ended up winning the football game as a true freshman. You do not you don't have many opportunities to get in-game two-minute drill reps. And yes, you're playing against an inferior Mississippi State team, but who knows? maybe this will end up, maybe that would have ended up helping out the team
so,
in the long run in a big bowl game or something. So I don't blame Saban for keeping him in. He said that that was going to be his last drive of the game anyway. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I have thoughts on this as well. Mm-hmm. I was with people when it happened at a bar watching the games. Mm-hmm. And they were like, why is he in? They're up 28 points. Why are they in? I'm like, it's the second quarter.
Right.
It is like you keep your starters until halftime. And I get it. But this has nothing. He got injured completely on a football play. He was a football player that got
injured
unrelated
to his prior
play.
Injuries.
Completely unrelated to his ankles, mm-hmm. Which have been his injury problem. So my whole thing is that we all, when this happens, you look for somebody to blame, mm-hmm. and it's hard to kind of I think take a step back and realize that there is no one to blame for this. It's just an unfortunate reality. He was a football player. He was playing a game, and he got injured.
Yep.
And it sucks. And yeah, maybe if he said no, I'm not going to go in that last series, he wouldn't have gotten injured. He would.
But you know what?
You know that. Maybe if he rolls to his left instead of his right instead of his left, he doesn't get injured at all. Like it's football. And I also don't like people being like he shouldn't even be playing right now because he's got too much to lose. And I'm like, at what point Tua did not get to this point because he made a couple plays
and
stopped playing because
right.
like that. I hate that argument. It's stupid to me.
It's like we'll talk about Trevor Lawrence later on in the episode, but it's like Trevor Lawrence, people were like, should he even play his sophomore and junior years? Yes, he should definitely play his sophomore and junior years.
I'm not drafting a player that sat out their last 2 years.
No.
Sitting out a bowl game is something I'm fine with, but like a whole year,
mm-hmm.
then you're just basically a college student that we're hoping can play football.
Exactly.
And it's one of those things, again, a football player makes a football move, and they got injured.
And let the players play. They're competitors.
Sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you gotta understand that also, like, Nick Saban is a coach that loves his players.
Mm-hmm.
And
he may not show it, but he really does.
Well, he doesn't show it to us, but
I'm sure he shows it to them.
You've seen those behind the scenes things. Like, his players like him.
And there's been moments when he's like, when Jalen won the SEC championship game after coming in for Tua at halftime, that post-game interview, he says, you know what, this guy worked and works and works. Like, he loves him. He loves him.
Yeah.
All right.
And I know everybody wants to blame somebody for this, but it's the unfortunate reality that it just is a bad thing that happened. It happens in a violent sport like football.
Yeah.
It sucks that happens to such a high-profile player. And the other thing, last thing that I will say about this, another thing about people that are criticizing this, you do not get to go around parading that Alabama must win with style points now. And everybody's like, Alabama has to win with style points now if they even want a shot to get in the playoff. And then be mad that Alabama is keeping their players in to score more points.
Yeah. You can't have it both ways.
Like, what do you want?
Yep.
You I hate to get all ways. Worked up about this, but I just think it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. Tua, we hope
Let's
you get better.
More fun.
Tua, please get better, dude. For the sake of yourself. And for the entire future South Florida community that we promise you, we will idolize you if you end up in Miami. Please get better. Best wishes to you and your family, dude. All right, let's move on. These quick hits got to be enormously fast because we just spent 15 minutes talking about Tua, which understandably so.
This is the biggest story in college.
Biggest story of the week. Biggest story of the week. All right, real quick. I got an email last week from Banner Society talking about Arkansas and what they should be doing with their head coaching search. And they have decided the only logical solution for Arkansas to get back to where
Banner
they want
Society
to be,
has decided.
Banner Society have decided, yes, is for the Arkansas Razorbacks to hire 7-time Arkansas high school football champion head coach Kevin Kelly of Pulaski. Am I saying that right? Pulaski?
Yeah, Pulaski.
Pulaski Academy. Tyler, let me give you the reasons why.
He's a winner.
He's not only is he a winner, Tyler. Why did we go New England?
I don't know. I just,
you started
I
it, too.
I don't know what people from Arkansas sound like.
I don't think I've met someone from Arkansas. No offense to the Arkansonians. Arkansonians? We're going to go with that.
Arkansasians?
Arkansonians.
What do we call people from Kansas?
Kansasans? Basketball fans? Anyway, people from Arkansas, no offense. I've never met one of you guys. Please, come up to...
Ogwalis.
Introduce what? Anyway, Kelly is known mostly for rarely punting, always trying for onside kicks, and going for two after every score. This, to me, is three radical aspects of the game that are not radical to me. Why? Because 2 points are always better than one.
I mean, you're not wrong.
If you always think of a if you always think that you have a four down situation, you're gonna play better. And why would you just kick it off? Try to get the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with it. Listen, Kevin Kelly's a very successful coach. And a part of that being that I remember reading, listening to an interview with him where he said, a long time ago, I had to look, what is the thing that can give me an advantage that no one else is doing? And he looked at the mathematics and he said, we're going to do this. And they don't, and part of the reason is they don't do punts because every time that you, every minute you spend practicing a punt in practice is a minute you're taking away from practicing offense or defense. And that's a minute that you could be making the offense or defense better. So good that you wouldn't even need to punt. So he said that he has like, he teaches his team like to punt like once. Like he teaches them in practice like one time. And he always says he keeps a timeout in his back pocket in case they're in a late game situation where it's mathematically advantageous to punt. In which case he'll call a timeout and then tell the players what to do.
Within the timeout.
Yes.
I love
it. It's a very interesting idea. He's a proven winner at the high school level, which sometimes is relatable to college football. It's not a guarantee. We spent a long time a couple episodes ago talking about how each level of football, it's not a guarantee that you win at one that you're going to win at the next
exactly,
one.
Exactly. Yeah.
You win at the higher one that you're going to win at the lower one. So those things aren't guarantees.
But the idea with a coach is that you got to start somewhere.
Like and his biggest,
he'll never be. I don't think he'll ever be able to get the opportunity to coach a team. A Power Five SEC team, like well, that's being very generous to Arkansas right now, but technically they are an SEC team.
Arkansas has like better football history than like five of the teams that they're above them.
It's incredible. No, but like it's gonna be hard to think that he's gonna get be able to get a job at a school like that if he doesn't climb the ranks.
This it's a is unique why, situation.
Exactly. This is why it's so radical that we think they are having this. Proposal, but I'm like kind of all in. And later on in this article, they mentioned like, what are you afraid that people are going to make fun of you for hiring a high school coach? How much more made fun of can you get, Arkansas? Where is rock bottom for you? Like, when, explain to me how could it possibly could get worse?
I mean, the biggest thing that he does is that he would provide is that his scheme, high school wise, and everything that he does is built around the idea of minimizing any talent deficiencies, maximizing what you can do. Basically, same thing as the Mike Leach thing.
Coaching?
Yes.
in theory, that's what coaching should be.
I would worry about recruiting because you don't really recruit in high school like you do in college. He is in a unique situation at Arkansas, in the state of Arkansas. Every kid that plays football in the state of Arkansas is going to be like, yeah, I'll probably go there.
I'm just saying your statement of there's no recruiting in high school football. You clearly have not been to high school football games in South Florida.
I'm not from South Florida.
I'm just telling you, St. Thomas did not get to be the St. Thomas that they have been for the past 20 years by simply letting the players that enroll play football there. I'm just saying, always be recruiting goes down to the grassroots level. Just saying.
See, my high school is his wild swings and seasons because they just take whoever they can get.
Exactly.
John
Bosco Prep.
I am unaware of any certain recruiting that may or may not happen at my high school.
Oh,
certainly not at Bishop Kenny Catholic High School.
Certainly not. No.
We definitely don't recruit like Bulls does. Trash Bulldogs. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about something very happy.
Okay.
What are we going to talk about? Fantasy football updates.
I didn't play fantasy football this week, so I have nothing to say. Neither should you.
Yeah. I just want it to be noticed that the Fighting Fenway Franks, who have clinched a playoff spot,
Thank you very much.
Are 0-2 in the series against here to Brock Purdy. 0-2 this season. So you may have gone to the playoffs, but I own your ass in a rivalry game.
And you know what? At what cost? Because I'm looking at next week's matchup for me. I am playing in – one second. Let's go ahead and head to the playoff bracket. I am playing the playoff expander, my stepdad Raul, whose team consists of
But you got bumped to the four seed?
I did. I got bumped to the four seed. I hate you so much. Tyler is genuinely laughing from his butt.
I feel so much better about this.
No, wait, you're gonna feel even better now. Hold on.
All right, give
his
it to me.
His team includes Jalen Hurts, Sam Ehlinger, I forgot. KJ Hill, Josh Dobbins, Chuba Hubbard. So that's his team. You know who's on a bye week for me? Travis Etienne Jr.
Ooh, yeah,
it's
hate
a wrap.
To see it.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. You know who's out? You know who's out next week against TCU? CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, are you sure he's still out?
Because it says here. It says out.
Yeah.
Right here
okay.
It says out. And for next week, 0 points projected. So I'm assuming he's going to be out. If he plays, I'll keep an eye on that. But no Travis Etienne. I'm done, dude. I'm done. It was a valiant effort.
It was nice knowing you.
It was a valiant effort. You were the nail in the coffin. All Raul has to do, you set the nail up. All Raul has to do is hit it once with the hammer, and it's a wrap.
Feels great.
Feels horrible.
Look, I'm 4-8 right now, but you're 2 of my wins. How does that feel?
It feels like we have to move on to rapid reactions. Good Lord, Tyler. What a mess of a podcast today. I cannot believe this.
I'm having a great time.
I'm having a great time up until that point. Actually, no, I don't. I did not want to. I want to talk about Tua, but it makes me so sad, dude. And
the
not
best
like
part, a little behind inside baseball here.
Uh-huh.
Sergio was in tech this weekend on Saturday.
Yes, I was
for his show that he's directing.
Yes,
first of
I
all,
am.
Round of applause.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We
haven't opened yet, so let's hold. Let's hold some.
Yes, yes. But you got through the whole tech. You got
I did
through
the whole
cute
tech
cute.
In one afternoon. Yes.
That's like I've been in shows with. Adults
uh-huh.
that haven't done that.
Listen, we will we'll talk about that in our moments of the week later on.
Oh, okay, all right. And I had to text Sergio about this, and his reaction was one of very much confusion.
Very, very much confusion. The fact that CeeDee Lamb was a scratch right before kickoff.
Yeah, that too. All right, let's talk about Florida Missouri real quick.
All right, let's talk about Florida Missouri. I'm going to be honest. I saw the first quarter because that was how much time that I had before I had to start with tech. And then just like the rest of these games, full disclosure, I did not do as much watching in game film as I usually do for these episodes, for these podcasts. I did go back and watch certain games, but like highlights and stuff. So Tyler, I'm gonna be the Scottie Pippen to your Michael Jordan today.
Oh, thanks, man.
Will be contributing because I did do my work, but I did not do as much as I usually do, so I don't feel as confident.
Right.
Let's talk Florida Mizzou. What I noticed was that Dan Mullen, once we came coming out of the gate, Dan Mullen was like, we're going to throw the ball, and we're going to throw the ball a lot, and it's going to be fast, and you're going to like it. And that's pretty much what happened.
Basically, I mean, like, everybody likes to talk about how Florida can't run, and Florida's like, yeah, we know that. we aren't stupid.
Yeah.
Like so they've kind of abandoned the running game in parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's
which is
still
a
like
shame,
an aspect.
Which is a shame for LaMichael Perine in his senior year, but that's another story.
I mean, he had a touchdown reception, and
yes,
he had a couple good runs. But, like, again, Missouri has a good defensive line
mm-hmm.
and an okay linebacking core. They don't have Kyle Garrett, their best player.
Right.
But Florida kind of just – they threw the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. They stuck with the game plan. And they just kind of sat on Missouri. Offensively, they just kind of took some time, but they eventually got enough plays in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
They threw a bunch of 50-50 balls to Trayvon Grimes, which I've been missing. Those were good.
Mm-hmm. There was one in the first drive.
Had a great game.
There was one in the first drive that I was like,
yeah.
Ooh, look at that.
Josh Heyman had a touchdown reception, and so did LaMichael Perine, as was
75-year-old Josh Heyman, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who tweeted,
I saw that. It was
guys,
hilarious.
I turned 21 in July. And all of his teammates are like, stop lying.
No, my favorite part was someone tweeted the starting lineup skill positions from the 96 Sugar Bowl, and they covered, and it was like Fred Taylor and like a bunch of other players, and at the end it was Josh Hammond, and Nick De La Torre quotes it and goes, ah, yes, his sophomore season. oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, for offensively, they just kind of did what they did. They threw the ball a lot. Florida's athletes against Missouri's defensive backs are better.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just better. And there's the wide receiver core is deep. There were a couple drops by Florida receivers that could have probably helped. Florida's offensive line and pass protection actually didn't have the best game, but Kyle Trask did what he needed to do.
Hey, notice his pocket awareness is improving, which
it's
is
getting
good.
A lot better.
And like we said, when the first couple games, that stuff is game reps.
That's live rep stuff.
That's why you keep your quarterbacks in the game when the games are essentially over, but you got to give them game reps. That's another shot to those insulting.
Yeah, specifically with him because he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Exactly, he's got to get
but,
in there. So
Kyle Trask to me has been getting better, and I mean it's hurting that the run game has disappeared more and more because it was only going so far anyway. And the last couple teams that we faced, not Vanderbilt, but a couple of the last teams that Gators have faced have been better at stopping the run. Defensively, Florida just wasn't letting Missouri beat him deep.
The first drive,
that's all they did.
So the first drive that I saw, it was 3rd and 11, or it was 3rd and 16, sorry. And I saw us line up in zone defensively, and I saw the linebackers pinching up, and I went, I swear if we get 3rd and Grantham'd on this, I'm gonna be livid, and that's not a good thing before this 7-hour rehearsal I have. And then the linebackers dropped out of protection, and we only rushed 3. And it kind of seemed that like Kelly Bryant wasn't sure when we were going to blitz and when we were not. And it's at least for me, from the highlights and stuff and everything I saw, it seemed like that kind of threw Kelly Bryant off guard, which surprises me because it's not a basic defensive concept. But I mean, I would think that a player who played under Dabo Sweeney and went up against Brent Venables' defense in practice would be able to kind of recognize those kind of things, right?
Yeah,
it was weird. It was weird
you
for
think,
me.
But the thing with Kelly Bryant is that. The book on Kelly Bryant is that you have to. There's not really a need to respect the downfield pass.
Yeah,
you can't leave it wide open.
It's more a magazine than a book.
He's not Drew Locke,
right?
And the whole problem with Drew Locke was that made him so hard to defend when he was playing well and when he had a good run game. Was that Drew Locke can make those 50-yard downfield throws into a window?
He's got an arm to get down there.
So like you can't leave those guys as open as you could with most quarterbacks. Most college quarterbacks can make passes, but. The 40, 50-yard downfield passes, that's hard. And so he was one Florida was not very able to stay disciplined against. But Kelly Bryant does not present that problem. Florida was prepared for it. Florida chopped down in the run game. They let Kelly Bryant have all the short stuff. But, I mean, Missouri only scored 6 points on 2 field goals. So I would say it was a pretty successful day.
I would as well, especially going on the road, a noon game. It's actually 11 in the morning because it's Central Time. And
yeah, tell me something I don't know.
Can't relate. And also, it was freezing.
But it wasn't snowing.
But it wasn't snowing, thankfully. I remember watching, I had it on my phone, and right, because I watched it right up until I had to turn it off. Like 12:15, rehearsal started at 1, 12:59, I still had my phone out, and I was like, all right, cool, time to start. And Raul looks over my shoulder, and he goes, is that ice? And he looked on the like on the backside behind the goalpost and was like, oh yeah, that is ice. So like it was cold. It was pretty cold.
Very.
Anything you want to say about this game anymore?
Tommy Townsend's a punting god.
Okay, anything you want to say that we don't know already?
No, I think everything else has been said.
As stated before, God bless the Townsend family. Alrighty, so let's move on from Florida Mizzou. Let's go into rapid reactions, Tyler. Let's talk about the games that happened outside of our five wide and outside of our beloved Gators. If you are not aware of rapid reactions, we will put 1 minute on a timer, and then Tyler and I will have 1 minute to discuss every single 1 minute each. Excuse me.
For each topic.
For each topic in the game. Tyler, we're going to start off with the number one team in the country. Is the timer on the clock?
Yes, it is.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, dale. LSU gives up over 400 rushing yards to Ole Miss. Now, Let me give you my perspective of this game. I had this game like looking up. I know this was the evening game, but I was driving a lot and getting to different places, picking up things. And I had or heading to my aunt's, and I had like notifications come up, and I would just check the LSU score every once in a while. And it seemed like this LSU defense is not what we expected to be at the beginning of the season. I know every week we know this because it's like week 12 and stuff when they play 10
it's
games.
It's officially a concern to me.
But like it's officially like a like Ed O, like you are talking so much and we got to talk about how this defense is a liability in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's very
LSU,
similar to
LSU
that
deserves
team.
To be the number one team in the country ranked right now.
Yeah.
But after this weekend, I'm not so sure that I would take them to win a national title.
Neither would I. It's
I
very
mean,
much
I,
reminds
I, I
me.
I didn't earlier, but like, you can't do this against Ohio State and Clemson.
This reminded me very much of the Oklahoma team with Baker that they lost in the Rose Bowl to Georgia, where it was like, this offense is incredible and it's stacked, Marquise Brown, Baker and stuff, but there's no defense, and that's going to be a problem later on.
Yeah, it's getting to Oklahoma levels.
All right,
you're right.
Moving,
next topic.
Moving on to the long-haired goddess that is Trevor Lawrence, Clemson smacks the second-best team in the ACC by 49 points. Good Lord, Tyler. Talk to me about this game real quick.
Trevor Lawrence, since everybody started bad-mouthing him, has been angelic, and that is not just a hair reference.
Mm-hmm.
He threw like four touchdown passes in this game. He looked clean. He hasn't thrown an interception in weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The running game is still great. Clemson's defense is playing on another level.
Uh-huh.
Clemson's backup quarterback, Chase Brice, who is really good, by the way,
yeah,
had more passing yards than Jamie Newman, Wake Forest's starting quarterback. The only reason Wake Forest scored in this game is because a Clemson punter muffed a punt and turned it over.
Oh, my.
That's the only reason Clemson even got Wake Forest even got that field goal.
Okay, Tyler, I want to talk to you a bit about a man by the name of Trevor Lawrence, okay? Let me give you some numbers.
I'm going to add some extra time on the clock.
Please do. I'm going to give you some numbers, okay?
Okay.
This has been the year that people, after seeing him play against A&M, were like, oh my God, it's a down year, this and that, whatever. He's not very good. Here's some numbers. His completion percentage has actually improved from last year to 68%.
Nice.
He has just over 20.
Not completely nice.
But... No, but better than the 65 that he had last year. Mm-hmm. Just over 2,500 yards. He is 700 yards short of his total yards from last year. He is averaging, his average is 9.2 yards per completion, which is up from 8.3 last year. His touchdown to interception ratio is 27-8. Now, he only threw four picks last year, and that is the concern. But this is the second year. He had a little bit of time to adjust, and he's actually balling out there. He's three touchdowns shy from his season total from last year, which is 30. And he's only been sacked 9 times.
He's good.
He's a good quarterback.
People don't want to talk about it, but he's
people
good.
People don't want to talk about this. He's only going to get better. I feel like this slow, quote-unquote, slow start is actually the best thing that can happen to him in the past few years. Look at the month of – I apologize for that, my friends, that went played without me going. Look at the differences from the months, completion percentages. September, 63%. October, 72.5%. November, 75.7%.
Jeez.
It's incredible. He's completely drastically improved. He's throwing less in October, November compared to 113 attempts in September, 73 in October, 70 in November. But he's being more efficient with those throws.
Yeah.
It's
Dabo Swinney said, like, he's had great quarterbacks the last couple of years, but he says the team is built to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when they run the ball, it makes everything a bit easier for the quarterbacks. And, you know, they're just getting more efficient with all their passes, so he hasn't needed to throw as much.
Right. All right.
That's scary, man.
That's all I got to say about Trevor. Don't be disrespecting Trevor. People think he's some bum because they're having a quote-unquote down year.
You know who else you should disrespect?
Who?
The Utah Utes.
No, you should not.
They roll over UCLA. I legitimately thought that UCLA had a chance to win this game. A small one, but a chance.
I got home when this game was like 3 or 4 minutes left, and I was just flipping through. I finished the Oklahoma game. I only saw the last like 3 minutes, but I saw the important stuff. And I was flipping through it. Game ended, I flipped over, and I saw the score and went, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
people, good. People, and we are guilty of it too. Mm-hmm. When we talk about Utah and Oregon, Oregon's ranked higher. We keep thinking that Oregon's going to win, and I understand that. And I am of that thing. But Utah's got a real shot to win the Pac-12.
It's going to be
the whole thing.
It's going to be a phenomenal Pac-12
this
title.
This team is really good.
Yes, they are. I really like Oregon, but I think it's because I've seen more Oregon than I've seen Utah.
Oregon has a brand, and that's hard to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You play it on the football field, so we're going to see.
We will have to see later on. Let's move over to Paul Bunyan land. Is Michigan good? I didn't see a lick of this game, so you got to take over this, my friend.
Michigan's offense, ever since that Penn State second half, has been a lot better, and it was really good against Michigan State, which, again, this is not a good Michigan State team.
Mm-mm.
But let's get that out of the way now. Mm-hmm. But Michigan State still has a good defense. And Michigan's offense has been able to figure it out. Josh Gattis, a first-time coordinator, took him a couple games, but Shea Patterson's been playing a lot better. Not perfect by any means, but a lot better. The rushing offense has really started to take off. They don't really have speed at the wide receiver positions like you really want out of like Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or LSU, but they've got good wide receivers. Just things are clicking. If this offense showed up from the beginning of the year on, they probably would not have lost one of the two games that they've lost. That's all I can say about that. Flipping to the other side, Michigan State, what is wrong with you?
Okay, so you wrote this, and I'm going to ask you this question, Tyler. Is the Mark D'Antonio era in East Lansing over? Should it
Mark
be?
D'Antonio.
Is it over, and or should it be over?
Mark D'Antonio is Mark D'Antonio.
Hated that, but I loved it at the same time. Continue.
Look, I have a hard time with the way that Mark D'Antonio has been acting around the media, has been carrying himself, the way that this team carries itself, the way the last couple of years have gone, and with all of the off-field stuff that has also been like happening in Michigan State. I have a really hard time now that he's also not winning, imagining that Mark D'Antonio is going to stay in Michigan State, either by his own volition or if they might want to fire him. I don't think they will because I just don't think they will. But I think there's going to be a mutual agreement. If he doesn't leave, he should because they still have good players, not the NFL talent they've had before, but they can't let it fall apart before they get the new coach in.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a wrinkle in here and then we gotta move on.
Okay.
Quick yes or no question, we can talk about it later. Would Mark D'Antonio fit at Florida State?
I mean, off field, it'd be terrible, but it'd be absolutely terrible. I don't think it would.
Okay.
I really don't.
Because I think he's a
I don't
good
think that'd be
football
a good
coach.
fit.
I think he's a good X's and O
Well,
football
he's a
coach.
good X's
And if you
football
give
coach.
him the Florida pipeline of talent, I think he
But
can make
can he
something work.
recruit that?
Yeah, I don't know many South Florida boys who are gonna. Here's Mark D'Antonio
How you
in your living
acquire at a
room.
little brother school in Michigan is different from how you acquire at a top program in Florida.
That's true. That's true.
So let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Kansas State. Everyone in the state of Oklahoma was mad at you. Why? Because you blew a lead against Texas, and then at the same time, you end up making Oklahoma's loss look worse.
And then this week, you lose to West Virginia. What are you doing?
Country roads,
Take me
take
home
me home. I
to
don't get
the.
it. No, I do get it. It's a new coach,
It's
and
the Big 12. The Big 12 is tough.
the Big 12 is a tough conference to play in because you play everybody. Did you know that? Did you know that everybody plays everybody? I don't think they've told us enough times.
Is it the Conference of Champions because
Is
of
it?
that? Or no, that's the Pac-12.
Is it? I'm sorry. Is it the one true champion? That's what it is.
Oh, that's
Is
what
it
it. Oh,
one true
okay. I mean,
champion?
I guess, because you have to rematch in the championship round. They've only told us like a million times.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Anyway, no, first year
And
coach coming from a different level of college football. He has the signature home win that's going to rally the fans. He's going to be able to get there. He won in the rivalry, but these are the first year things. They're going to have these weird games where
it's still a
coming
good
off the
team. It's
highs
just that,
and
like, they're just losing stupid games now.
that's a first year thing. That's a first year thing. I think.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Penn State. Ooh.
More importantly, the Penn State secondary. What the heck happened to you?
This is one of the games that I saw the highlights and I was like, oh my gosh.
Ohio State, I hate to say
They're
it,
going to tear
Ohio
them
State is going to
apart.
do bad things to this defense.
It's not going to be a fun game next week.
Because Penn State, the last two games,
Game
and
day should not even go. Game
I
day
guess the
shouldn't even
only
go.
two offenses that can really stretch them down the field that they faced, they have given up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. Now, they won. Penn State won. I want to give them credit. They're a good team, but you can't be doing that next week against Penn State, against Ohio State.
No,
So
you cannot be doing that.
we're gonna see how bad that goes.
We'll see how it goes. And it's on the road. It's in
Ugh.
Columbus.
Ugh.
Okay. All right, James
Jace
Franklin.
Pisoli ain't walking out there to play defense.
No, he's not. All right, let's move on. FSU is now bowl eligible. I think we need to give a respectful big brother round of applause to them.
You did good,
You
kid.
did good, kid. You did good. But I'm more excited because now this gives me someone to allegedly bet on in a bowl game against FSU.
Oh,
They
that's a good
get
point.
they had they now have an
Silver
opportunity.
alleged silver
Silver
linings.
lining. No, not a alleged. That's a silver lining. The act
Okay.
is alleged, but the
Okay.
silver lining is good.
Yeah, the concept is very good.
Here's hoping for an FSU FAU bowl game where we can where you can join, come over and hop on the lane train full fledged. Because you're on
FSU to the what is it, the Moribund Cherry Tart
the
Boca
chair.
Raton
No,
Bowl?
no, 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 no. To the, let's go. Let's just meet halfway. Let's do it at the Gasparilla Bad Boy Mowers Bowl in Tampa, baby.
Yeah.
What is more
Greatest
FSU
bowl
F?
ever.
What is more FSU FAU than Lane Kiffin's FAU Owls beating the job that he's rumored to take, which he won't take, guys? That people are like, oh, he should go to FSU and beating them in Tampa. That's nothing better than that.
Good
Nothing better
stuff.
than that.
All right.
We
Next.
had a mini round of applause. Let's give a moment of silence to my Kansas Jayhawks for losing out their bowl hopes. Moment of silence, please. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Well, we should have known that they were going to lose when Oklahoma State trots out there and all of the backs of their jerseys, they took away all the names and it only says Cowboy Battalion.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. And Mike Gundy was wearing camo. I mean,
And
allegedly. I didn't see
was
it.
he on the field? Because I couldn't notice it.
I mean, that's what I've been told. I haven't seen anything. It
Zero
looked like the
idea.
sidelines were empty except for the players.
Oh, wow, that's
Which,
crazy.
if that's the case, good job on the players. They coached themselves to a victory against Les Miles.
Wow. Now here's a guy who
All right.
all right,
All right, let's moving on.
moving on. You put this here, but we're kind of stating the obvious here. Wisconsin beat Nebraska. I think
Yeah, so
the bigger story here is Scott Frost got an extension.
well, I mean, in fairness, that Nebraska athletic department, you got to spend the money somehow.
And they got to spend it somehow, number one. Number two, they really need the Scott Frost thing to work.
Yeah.
Because
Nebraska is now 4-6. So they need to win their last two games to make it to a
Do
bowl.
we know who
I
those
also put
last
this in
two games
there.
are? I'll look it up.
What?
I was gonna say, do we know who their last two games are? I'll look it up.
Not off the top of my head.
I'll look it up.
I know that one of them is Iowa.
Okay. Ooh, we'll talk about them in a bit.
On top of that, Wisconsin. Now, with this win and a result that happened that we'll discuss in a moment, Wisconsin is now in a winner-take-all situation against Minnesota in the final week of the season
Oh yeah,
for the
baby.
Big Ten West. So that's part of the reason this win is important.
Let me interrupt you.
Yes.
Not only next week they're at Maryland, so let's pencil the worst game of the Big Ten in.
God, that's disgusting.
It's a 3:30 game. It's on the Big Ten network, so we're good. No one's gonna
All
watch it.
right, we're safe.
We're
Don't have
safe.
to subject my eyes to that.
We're safe. But they have at Maryland, and then they have Iowa at home. So it's gonna come down to Iowa at home.
Can they beat Iowa at home?
Can they Iowa?
No. Well, at least it's not in Kinnick.
At least not.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yes, we will.
Last
Yes, we will.
one, Oregon State. Has won five games this season. They beat Arizona State in Jonathan Smith's first home game win as an Oregon State head coach. All of his other previous conference wins were on the road. And Oregon State is now 5-5. They have Washington State and Oregon the last two games.
So they
If
gotta
they
be
win one of those games, they go to a bowl.
okay. So if I would
In which
like
case, you
pref
have to give Jonathan Smith the coach of the year. I'm sorry. For
yeah.
the Pac-12, for the Pac-12 Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think you do. I would love for them to make a bowl. Right now, my wish list for bowl teams to make a bowl are teams that I think would be fun to sit on a Tuesday night during winter vacation and just sit there and watch football. And I can be with my dad who doesn't watch college football. And I can be home and he can be like, who are these guys? And I'll be like, oh, let's take a walk and watch some Oregon State football, Dad.
But not really. Let's sit on the couch.
You want to watch Oregon State against Marshall? Let's do it, Dad. Let's do this.
Very
Pour
proud of them. Very
open the
proud of our
brandy,
Beavers.
open the brandy, and let's have a
One
talk.
of the small rodent teams that didn't let us down this week.
One of the very few. One of the
All
very
right.
few.
Let's go to five wide.
All right, my friend, let's go to five wide. Let's go through these quickly. We want to talk, spend more time on the other ones. First up was Navy at Notre Dame. By God, was this over quickly. 52-20. Ian Book ends up throwing five touchdowns for the third time this season, which is actually the most times that a Notre Dame quarterback has thrown for five or more touchdowns in a season. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
There you go. Fun facts. We both get the point on that one. I think the big thing in this game for me is that it eliminates any option of delaying the college football playoff rankings. Because we talked about this where, I don't know if we talked about this on pod or off air, or if I talked to this with someone else, but I talked to someone about this, and it was about how there's a possibility that if Navy was in contention for the
The group of five spot.
Group of five spot, because they are in the American, they would have to wait until after Army-Navy, which is a week after conference championships. I don't know if they would hold the entire rankings. I think they would just release the top six, and then we would have to wait for 7 through 25 the following week.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have to worry about that.
We don't have to worry about that anymore, so that's good.
Well, the thing is with this game is that Notre Dame, one, they worked on the downfield passing a lot. Mm-hmm. Ian Book looked pretty good. Additionally, Navy had turnovers in like a couple of their first couple drives.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a ball control offense, you can't do that.
No.
Especially not against Notre Dame that has more talent than you and was able to expose that in space. Right. So,
and they play Navy every year, which means that these players are more accustomed to the triple option than other schools are.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it is what it is. All right, moving on. Our favorite, arguably our favorite game of the week. Iowa State beats Texas 23-21. We are here to Brock Purdy, my friend.
I Purdied like a Brock star.
Purdied like a Brock star. You love to see it. We both get the points on that. Tyler, talk to me. I didn't see a single second of this game. And honestly, I didn't want to watch the highlights because I wanted you to describe what happened to me. I wanted you to have the honor to describe what happened
to me. I knew that Iowa State was going to win this game for the moment it kicked off. You want to know why?
Why, Tyler?
Because they were wearing their all-black unis that they wore against West Virginia last year.
It's a wrap.
It was
can
perfection.
Can I give you a post-game?
Post-game Birdman hand rub?
Oh, yeah. This is me not watching the game, just hearing what happened, the highlights, ooh, and I'm already getting it.
Mm. So Brock Purdy leads them down in his first drive, scores a touchdown pass. And then Texas scores a little bit later. It's a bit back and forth. There's not really a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come into the second half. You go to halftime. Mm-hmm. You come out of the second half into the second half, and like on the first drive, Brock Purdy throws like a 75-yard touchdown pass off of his back foot,
mm-hmm,
in classic Purdy fashion. Like he rolls around, then like as he's getting hit, he just fires one downfield. The guy's wide open, but like really far, so it's like it's really hard to like throw that, even though he's wide open, to throw him that far.
Uh-huh.
DB's already catch jumped him, touchdown, and they score a couple more field goals. I was up, I believe it's 20-7 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling and the way it's looked, it's felt really in control.
Okay.
Texas and Sam Ellinger is able to climb back, and Texas has basically no running game at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is able to climb back. They score two more touchdowns right near the end, and they get a 21-20 lead.
Okay.
So Brock Purdy, the Brocktician, takes his team down the field.
Brockosaurus
Rex. And which is funny because Rex means king, because he's a king. so he takes him down
that
the
might
field.
Be can we pause? That might be my favorite nickname for him. Now that we've established Rex. That King Rex means king, if not you Latin heads out there, Brachiosaurus Rex is our new nickname for Brock Purdy. It's happened.
Yes, sir.
We are here to Brock Purdy because all hail Brachiosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, he leads him down to the field. They kick a game-winning field goal, which is weird because they weren't originally going to be able to do that. But Texas got offsides on the field, their original field goal attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa State was able to move the ball about like 10 yards closer and drain the clock.
Okay.
So that there was only 3 seconds left. And they kicked the game-winning field goal. Texas, up to this point, was the only Big 12 team that Matt Campbell had not beaten. And he beat them. And they're running around the stadium. He does that thing where the kicker, he kicks the game-winning field goal, and he's like running around, and like the entire team is chasing him.
I love that. That's
Matt Campbell looked like he loved it. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. And then there were some Iowa State fans that had red cowboy hats and they're cyclone red.
Uh-huh.
But the absolute best part is that they have the horns down. They have the Texas logo, but they turned it upside down.
Incredible.
And they stuck it on top of the cowboy hat.
Yeah, baby, you love to see it, especially after the Iowa State AD. That video you
just
sent
absolutely
me?
Like the passive aggressiveness.
The greatest troll of all time.
Yeah, he's just going around being like, I know it's cold in here, and I know.
Apparently he's buddies with the Texas AD.
Oh, it was done in good fun.
Yeah, good and good fun. But they took the shot where
the Iowa State AD
Go ahead, go ahead.
With Iowa State, he released a Twitter video about because I believe Chris Del Conte, the Texas idiot, said something about it might be it's going to be really cold in Iowa, and he's worried about that. He really and the Iowa State AD released this whole video about like, here's all the things we're going to have in the box for you, all this Iowa stuff. So, like, we got hand warmers, we got like
jackets,
blankets, we got
scarves.
Coats, jackets. And at one point, he's like, we got a ice scraper that you can come in and like you can scrape off the ice when you're watching the game. And the best part by far. Was when he's just like, we're also gonna have air conditioning in here in the visitor section. I know that's a big thing with you guys because Texas has been accused of not having any air conditioning in their visiting lockers.
Yeah,
good stuff. That made me laugh. All right, let's
I
move
just,
on.
I just want to before we move on, I just want to point out. Last week I said Iowa State has the better quarterback in this game, and who was right?
You, because you're right.
Thank you, baby. Appreciate it.
Sam Ellinger's a good quarterback, but he ain't Brock Purdy.
That's exactly. Brockosaurus Rex. He is not. Brockosaurus Rex, he is not. All right, let's move on to the oldest rivalry in the SEC. Georgia went to Jordan-Hare to play Auburn. I picked Auburn. Tyler picked Georgia like a traitor. And Georgia ends up winning 21-14.
You mean a traitor that was right?
You can be right. This is. Not,
it made me sad to be right, but
doesn't
you know,
mean you're not a
yeah,
traitor.
Yeah, I will bear the burden.
Doesn't mean you're not a traitor.
I will bear the burden of being smart and being right.
Sure. All right, traitor. Georgia ends up winning this game 21-14. I saw a little bit of this game during our dinner break, and what it looked to me was Bo Nix is struggling.
Yeah.
He is still a freshman, and we got to give him the time. Because you never know. I mean, listen, if Joe Burrow can make the leap from last year to this year, who's to say that Bo Nix can't make a leap, a significant leap next year? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
But we talked about this beforehand. The Gus Malzahn offense isn't the most complicated offense to master.
No, it's very predictable.
So who knows
and
how it's going to
go. It's not great when the thing is, like, they couldn't establish the run very often. And on top of that, Bo Nix, they weren't letting Bo Nix throw downfield. Don't really get why.
Because he's got a good arm.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it. Well, the Auburn offense doesn't really have a lot of deep passing concepts into it. And when they do, he's executing them, and those are the parts that he was making. Granted, he missed some easy throws.
Like the fourth and whatever goal at the end of the game.
The fourth and one where they had the guy wide open for, like, 3 yards.
He would have gotten 7, 8 yards and gotten out of bounds in that play.
Yeah, and he missed him. Just flat out missed him. There wasn't even a defender near him.
No.
But, I mean, Bo Nix is still a freshman. He's making a lot of freshman mistakes, but he's also on an offense that is not going to help him out. And Auburn's a very talented team. Auburn's defense came to play in this game. They came to play. But Georgia's the better team. And Georgia won.
Unfortunately. That means.
Even though Auburn Jesus entered the chat.
That Auburn Jesus entered the chat. that means that Georgia is officially SEC East Division champions. They will be in Atlanta. No, don't clap for that. Don't clap for that.
This is a very salty clap.
Yeah, awesome.
You could season so much food with this clap.
It's incredible. Yeah, so they're going to end up being in Atlanta, which I guess saves me some money because we seriously off-air just were trying to consider getting to Atlanta. But
yeah, I don't have to worry about taking time off of work that I can't do. Or
yeah, but I guess now we have to...
Money, also money.
Now we have to watch most likely LSU play Georgia in the national championship game. And can they tie? Can we go back to like 1984? Can they tie?
Can that be a thing?
Can that be a thing? I hope so.
I don't know.
We'll have to talk to the committee.
Freaking hope.
All right. Moving on to another game that just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Minnesota at Iowa. Iowa ends up winning 23-19. Tyler,
why did we doubt them? Why did we do this?
Why? Iowa's going to Iowa, I guess? Let's put it this way. Iowa is the Pitt of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Where dreams go to die.
Yeah.
There should be three rules in college football for anyone. Don't schedule Pitt. Don't schedule Iowa, and if you have to schedule them because they're in your conference, don't play the game out of protest. That's my thing. Just don't play it.
Yeah, just forfeit.
Refuse to play Iowa or Pitt. That's my idea. That's my idea.
Don't do it.
How did this happen? How did this happen?
Well, basically, Iowa came out like firing, and went up like big with a lead. But then, unfortunately, I would like to see Iowa not like objectively like not just sit on the lead. Because they basically kind of packed it up in the third quarter. And Minnesota almost came back. Minnesota was able to move to the ball. They had like 200 more yards of offense. Mm-hmm. But turnovers, individualized stops, messed it up. The Minnesota kicker missed an extra point as well as a field goal.
Oh, that's 4 points. That's...
And Minnesota lost by 4 points.
Yikes.
So
college kickers.
I mean, it's just that's what it is. Like that's football. And Minnesota went in. And the weird thing is that they weren't completely shut down. They were allowed to do what they wanted to do on offense. But Iowa got a couple stops here and there, mm-hmm. and their defensive line got a couple sacks here and there that stopped drives or stopped the ball. And I think that Iowa was able to control what they wanted to do early, mm-hmm. and then they were able to hold on to that lead. That's all they had to do. So,
all right. That now what this does is the biggest takeaway from here is that no, Iowa's not good. Let's throw that out right now. Number two.
They're going to be ranked again. Damn it.
And they're going to re-rank higher. They might be a top 15 team. Anyway, what this does is this sets up a de facto Big Ten West championship game between Minnesota and Wisconsin next week or the week after?
Yeah, rivalry week.
Rivalry week, so Thanksgiving. Yeah, you can burn Manhattan up. That's going to be a juicy game, my friend.
I'm excited because Minnesota won this game last year. Like this is not
– I'm being selfish here now, okay? Let's say that – let's be realistic. Let's say that the Florida-Florida State game is going to be a noon game, okay? As much as we don't like it, let's be realistic. FSU has 6 wins. That's going to be a noon game. 3:30 is the Iron Bowl. We have Ohio State.
Michigan is going to be noon.
It's always noon. It's traditionally a noon game. Where are we getting – is this – are we getting Minnesota-Wisconsin in the ABC spot?
I wouldn't be opposed. Mm-hmm. It's because it'll be at, I believe it's going to be at Wisconsin. I could be wrong about that. Or is that
happening? Maybe they throw Bedlam in that spot too.
Ooh, because Bedlam is important.
Bedlam's one. And then at night, we have the Civil War. We have the Apple Cup. We got it's the best.
We might have to expand five wide a little bit next in rivalry week.
We can make a rivalry week version of five wide, and we can take out a few offensive linemen and
we'll check go in, CFL rules. We'll add a wide receiver.
So yeah, we'll make someone else eligible. We got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's gonna be a good time. But let's go ahead and finish up our five wide this weekend. Oklahoma went into Waco and beat the Atlanta. Beat the Baylor Bears. 34-31, coming back after blowing a what lead, Tyler?
A 28-3 lead.
You hate to see it.
Oh, God.
Boomer.
I'll say it for you sooner, baby.
Let's go, baby. Oh, my gosh. So here's what happened. I saw the first two drives. So I saw the Oklahoma field goal, and then I saw the first Baylor touchdown. Then I was at my aunt's house, didn't watch it, whatever. I get a text from you saying, are you watching this? Which could mean two things. Jalen Hurts did something wild. Or
he did something wild, all right.
Or Jalen Hurts did something wild. So what happened?
It was the second one.
What happened that made you send me the text? Are you watching this?
Let me go. I'm gonna look back up at this, but I remember Jalen Hurts had like three straight turnovers, mm-hmm. after the first Oklahoma drive is part of it.
It's because I turned it off.
And Baylor, for their credit, they basically copied the Kansas State game plan. Mm-hmm. And it worked pretty
much to
perfection. They went up 28-3, and then at one point they scored 31 points. Like, they had some good stuff going. Let me find it.
Okay. While you do that, I'm going to talk about the discrepancies in how Oklahoma didn't play football in the first half, but they did play football in the second half. I saw something.
Oh, wait. I found it.
Okay, go ahead.
Before you go, I said, "Good Lord, are you watching this?" You said, you know, no, I'm not. And then I respond with, you're not going to like this. You said, I saw the Baylor touchdown on my phone, to which I respond, oh, just the first one. Okay. So you sent a GIF of Donna from Parks and Rec going, excuse me? To which I respond, Baylor is currently up 28-3 with 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
And then, in my defense, what did I say after that?
Oh, good Lord. He first said, I have to leave this family gathering early.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
But the other thing is, like, that's an eternity in the Big 12. And it was.
Yeah.
Because I said that the OU means – the either means that OU has a lot of time to make a comeback, which they did, mm-hmm. or Baylor's just going to blow them out.
Yeah,
And that didn't
exactly.
happen. So Baylor, they copied the Kansas State game plan, and it worked so well for the first half. And then in the second half,
and that's what I'm going to tag
mostly
in.
Mostly because they didn't get the ball.
You know how many yards Baylor had in the second half?
Was it like 68 or something?
69.
I mean, nice if you're Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, just nice period. But
nice period, but also yeah. even nicer if
exactly.
you're Oklahoma.
No, the yards discrepancy was crazy. But Oklahoma in the first half like had like 110 yards or something. They had like 280 yards in the second half, and they dominated both the time of possession and the points and the plays and all that stuff. I caught the game with like 12 minutes left on my drive home, and it was like a 45 minute drive home that I had. So I first tried to do the thing that I put the phone like where the dashboard is.
That's dangerous, buddy.
It is dangerous. And then I realized, shoot, I don't know where I'm going. I need a GPS. I was like, I need a GPS. So I put the GPS on. And then I went into the ESPN app and I listened to it on the radio. And there was a point where I was driving for like 15 minutes and it was the same Oklahoma possession. And I was like, what? They are holding this ball.
They went ball control.
Forever. It was like a 78-yard drive that they had like 15 plays and went 78 yards and over the course of like 6.5, 7 minutes. And I was like, where is this like, not run and gun, but where is this like,
Where's the explosiveness?
Where's the explosive plays that we've come to know from this Oklahoma, from this Lincoln Riley offense, regardless of who it was, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen.
Well, Harris. I think a lot of that has to do with CeeDee Lamb being out for the game,
mm-hmm.
which was basically a last minute decision. That was not something that was announced like before the game.
Yeah. So
they
found I heard.
He had a minor medical issue right when they were pregame.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the sideline in his jersey, but like he wasn't playing.
Right.
And I mean, like I watched it, and if you watch it, as much as it's not like explosive Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray stuff,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma's offense was moving.
Yeah.
They would occasionally have a negative play here or there. Jalen Hurts did turn it over twice in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he didn't play perfect, but they ran him well. They used his legs. He was hitting open receivers,
mm-hmm.
but they were only going where they usually been going for 40. They were going for 15.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept doing it. And honestly, I think it was kind of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like what the offense has been designed to do this whole time. It's just that they've come up against teams that, I mean, if
don't make those tackles.
Don't make those tackles so they get to make those big explosive plays. And Baylor is a well-coached team. Matt Rhule has the coach X really, really well.
No, Baylor's a really good team.
And they're disciplined and they know exactly what to do, so they will make those stops. But to me, it just looks so much like it was very much like an NCAA type drive where it was like, cool. We need to make sure that we score, but at the same time, have the amount of ball control to gas this defense out and give us a shot to win the game.
It helps to take any it gasses the defense. It also helps to take any momentum away from the offense.
Right, exactly.
And exactly. Oklahoma did it. It was honestly crazy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so glad that I watched the whole thing because on top of it was very entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor's defense has dudes. Like, Baylor is a talented team with good players, and I just think that if you play this game again in the Big 12 Championship, I don't even know which team is going
to
win.
And that's going to be a fun one to go ahead and watch and see how it goes.
Yeah. But Baylor has to beat Texas next week first.
Let's go Bears! All right, that's it for Five Wide. Neither of us got the Minnesota game right. We got the other three games, Navy, Notre Dame, Texas, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Baylor, correct. And the only difference was you picked Georgia, I picked Auburn. So you, the trader, win 1 point from our five wide. Let's go ahead and move over to our two-point conversions, where we both got the games wrong, but both of us got screwed. Let's start with myself. UNC
How did you get screwed?
Okay, so I picked UNC over Pitt, right? Pitt ends up winning 34-27 in overtime. I will, to my grave, be calling and complaining about the missed holding call on 3rd and 11 in overtime that would have been a 5-yard penalty, would have made it 3rd and 16, and I'm confident would have pushed them back and hopefully would have been able to have them kick a long field goal. Let's say they miss it, best case scenario, then all Sam Howell has to do is get them at least and keep them in field goal range, and end up scoring the touchdown, or that would be great. Or they make the field goal, Sam Howell goes downfield, scores a touchdown, wins a game. But no, that didn't happen. You want to know why? Because they were playing in Pittsburgh. And some kind of juju spirits are happening in Pittsburgh where teams that are good and should have competitiveness end up not having those things go their way and end up losing the football game. We're not taking comments on this. Next thing we're talking about is Louisiana.
No. You come in to Kenny Pickett from South Park's house and try to beat them? No, UCF couldn't do it. You think former New England Patriot quarterback Sam Howell is going to do it?
Former?
Former future. I get the time stream so mixed up.
Yeah, I was just saying the multiverse is the what's the what's
it's
the,
wild.
Is that
wild.
Is that the thing from Spider-Man? What's it called?
It's called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It is an amazing movie. No, you should watch it.
I saw it. I was trying to remember the name of it. Is it the multiverse?
It's the multiverse.
The multiverse. I got it right. I was just trying to check my references.
Yeah, but then again, did you see the after credit scene?
No. Why would I do that?
For you, because it has Oscar Isaac in it.
No, I didn't see it. I'll go back and watch it. It's on Netflix. I saw it on Netflix.
Such a good movie. But the after credit scene has Oscar Isaac's Spider-Man 2099 in it. So that also deals with the time stream. Okay. Son.
Sorry.
All right, get out of it. All right.
I should now watch it too. My Twitter bio is Oscar screwed. Isaac in his 20s. So go ahead.
Let's talk about how I got screwed.
All right. Louisiana Tech ends up losing to Marshall. Sorry. 31-10.
I wish they beat Marshall.
This is some bull.
If someone had told me that like 8 Louisiana Tech players, including the starting quarterback, weren't playing.
And wide receiver and running back.
I maybe wouldn't have, picked this game.
And it was –
But no,
and it
no
sucked.
One shared that information with me.
And it sucked. It was very – and the thing is that like there were rumors that it was happening on Wednesday. For the record, we record Tuesday nights our previews. So it was happening on Wednesday, and the Vegas line moved within like 45 minutes, moved from like -3 to like – -7.5, some wild move in like an hour, and then nothing was happening. No one reported it. So we were like, okay, maybe it's not happening. Maybe it's just overreactions. Cool. But no, if there's one lesson that we've known throughout this year, it's that Vegas knows. And Vegas ended up knowing because on Friday itself, Raul looks at me and he goes, Louisiana Tech's best players are suspended. Super sad because we needed that we needed that Louisiana Tech win for FAU. So I feel you. I'm also mad about this one. It was just the football gods were just trying to bring us and keep us humble. We were on a roll with our 2 points, man.
Yeah, right now, I just calculated this with all of our picks combined. Mm-hmm. We are picking combined because we both have the same score. Mm-hmm. Combined about just shy of 60%.
5 wide and 2 point?
Yeah. So if there's 7 possible points that we can get every single week.
Mm-hmm. We're getting 4.5, 5?
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but the football guys can't let us get over 60.
They just can't.
We know too much.
We know too much. It'd be too hot. We'll make the block hot. The feds are watching. That brings our total. Tyler 50, Sergio 50. We are at a dead even 50, my friend.
This is that Paul Rudd moment. It's just like, hey, how do you think we get here? No, not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Oh my gosh. So here's what's happening, Tyler. We have this week, rivalry week, I cannot speak today, and championship weekend. And let me propose something.
Oh boy. Let's live podcasting. Let's go.
Live podcasting. Let's do this. We got this week, rivalry week, conference championship week. The player that has the less points or more points should get first dibs on Army Navy, and then the other player has to take the other team.
So you'd typically want the player with more points to go first. Okay, in this situation, you want to play with less points to go first because they are at a disadvantage, so they should get to choose.
Right.
Typically, in these situations, if you can choose whoever you want the player with more points to go first so that you can fade them if you want.
Exactly. Now, let's do this only if we're tied. If we're tied, it will come down to Army Navy.
This is a tiebreaker that we will come to if we get to it.
Yeah, just letting everybody know.
Because we need a tiebreaker.
We do. Army Navy will be our tiebreaker if we need.
Okay.
Because that is a rivalry game that no matter who has what scores or whatever, anything can happen. What better way to end the season than with an Army Navy game?
How it was meant to be.
How it was meant to be.
That being said, God. I'll probably blow you out in the next two, 3 weeks, so it's probably not going to matter.
So if you want to go ahead and let us know what you think, go ahead and email us at sidelinejudgment@gmail.com. While you're at it, just go ahead and let me know, you know, if you want to say something, if you want to give us a message where, you know, you want Sergio to say something like, there's no way Tyler would ever beat me in a blowout type of thing, we can say that. If you want Tyler to say, Sergio, I'm so sorry that you are actually a much better picker at sporting games over the course of a season than me, that's perfectly fine. All you got to do is drop a bag of any size you want, email it to sidelinejudgment@gmail.com, and all will be right in the world. That'll be it.
Also, if you're being made to say any of these things, feel free to, like, with the emoji, do the blink emoji twice. We got you.
Wink if you need help. Oh, man. Tyler, let's go ahead and end this podcast. That is at 1:10. Wow, we went a little bit over today. But that's okay. Yeah. We had some great time. We talked about Tua. Tua took a lot of time when we had to talk about him. Tyler, let's talk about our moments of the week. I will go first. Mine was definitely my tech rehearsal this past Saturday. I'm really excited for my students. It's going to be a hectic week this week. I still have to finish a couple of costume things. Still have to add a couple of set things and a couple of props. And we should be all full swing ahead. I was very happy to be with my cast. I think the specifically though is I bought everyone pizza, and I remember that being a thing that my high school directors used to do, and it was just something that made me really happy, where I like bought a bunch of kids pizza at a rehearsal, and I was like, I can do this now. That's really sweet. I really enjoyed it. So that was my moment of the week.
That's awesome. You're such a dad. I'm so envious.
Super dads. I wore literally this hoodie I'm wearing, these sweatpants I'm wearing, and I didn't wear a hat, but super dad look right now. Super, super dad energy with these kids.
Dad fit.
Dad energy. Like it.
Yeah. Immaculate flex.
Immaculate flex.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My moment of the week, I have 1.5, basically. Oh,
give it to me.
My one is similar thing that happened to me-ish. So for my station that I work for, I like to volunteer and shoot high school football in the area, in the Panama City area. And this last week was our last week of playoff football in our area. If any of the teams that won would be traveling out of the county.
Okay.
So I got to go shoot last game of the season. It was Blountstown was hosting Port St. Joe. Sharks got absolutely destroyed, so I feel bad. But
what class?
I believe it's 1A.
Oh, super small.
Yeah. But it was really fun. It's nice because it's kind of a cool cap on a whole season of just shooting football. Mm-hmm. It was finally cold, and I don't have any gloves, and it was actually really cold.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other stations were there. I usually don't actually get to see them because I get sent to the faraway stuff.
Right.
And it was just really cool to kind of cap off a season like that of just shooting high school football almost every single week. Something I hadn't really done before, and I really enjoyed. And nice. It's really cool to see football at a small level with people that know the kids on the field and are screaming from the bleachers to do one thing, and just the weird politics of, you know, the fans and the coaches that they all like work together. So like just weird, and being on the sideline, it's very cool.
Nice.
My other little half moment of the week was something that I wanted to say last week and I completely forgot, but it's my moment of the week. It's also my moment of the year. When TCU was playing Baylor, it was in overtime.
Yeah.
It's important to note that the TCU starting quarterback is a freshman by the name of Max Duggan. And I want it to be noted that. So in overtime, on like a fourth down, Max Duggan scores a touchdown to keep themselves in the game. And everything's going crazy because it's at TCU. And the announcer, I'm pretty sure he either A, was thinking about this for an hour, or just came off of it in the moment, screamed, "Teach me how to duck it!" in the middle of the broadcast for a back second, and I lost it. And I completely forgot to mention it last week, and I needed to mention it again.
I did not know this.
It's absolutely incredible. Like,
oh, that is some Kenny Mayne SportsCenter stuff.
I was completely thrown off guard by that.
Oh man, and that, you know what that makes me think of? Stuart Scott. What does that make Stuart sense? Scott. Rest in peace to Stuart Scott. Man, he would say stuff like that, and oh my gosh, it's the originality and the personality coming through in a broadcaster that makes you really enjoy parts of the game, and that's a wonderful moment. Teach me how to dug in. I love that. I love shout out to that FS1 crew, man. Woof.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's it for me.
Wow. What a wonderful, wonderful.
Ended out on a high note.
Tyler, that's it for today. In this next episode, we will be previewing week 13. There is no Gator game. We are on a bye, which means it is an unusual early start to FSU Hate Week.
Heck yes.
Yeah, baby. We get an early
FSU
start.
FSU double hate week.
Ooh, you love to see it. We get 2 weeks of talking trash. You love to see it. But we will not be previewing a Florida game next week. We will go into our five wide and two point conversion games.
We'll also talk about the college football playoff.
We'll have to talk about our college football playoff rankings. As we do, there's going to be some switch ups for sure. Be on the lookout. We are going to go ahead and preview next week, week 13's games. And, yeah, let's just get excited. The season's almost over, my friend. It's kind of sad that the regular season's almost over, but that means that we are one step closer to bowl season, our favorite season.
Yes.
Favorite season of the year.
Random Tuesday night football between two teams that never face each other.
Oh, yes. Love to see it. With an inappropriate amount of gambling expectations in Vegas. You'll love to see it. Be on the lookout. We will have our annual bowl preview extravaganza, bowl preview palooza, where we will talk about every single bowl game and we will pick every single bowl game that we have, including the New Year's Six, including the playoff, college football playoff, including the national championship, but most importantly, including the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, baby. Get
best,
into all of our
in the world.
All of our favorite things. There is nothing else left to say this week on this episode, Tyler, other than this has been yet another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, but go Gators.
It's FSU Hate Week, baby! Woo-hoo!